Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Here's something you don't hear every day. Paul and Jordana on the Paul and Jordana Show. David's still at the helm, but Paul, thank you for not napping during our show today and finally joining me on your namesake show.
I can't promise anything, Jor. I'm starting to fade. It's like jet lag. Good afternoon. I miss
Hi,
you.
Honey. Yeah, we miss you too. I know you've been filling in on the mornings, and we're grateful that we can do that. We do miss you on the show today, and I know you have to kind of chill out. You got mornings tomorrow also, but my goodness, this weather is unusual, and we definitely wanted to talk a little weather while we could keep you awake. I was out this morning, and it wasn't as warm as I had hoped, but it's what, about 49 now?
Well, I saw 50 this hour officially at the airport. I think it might go up another degree or two. So I think it's going to be around 52, which is pretty impressive when you consider the average high now is 34 in the Twin Cities. So, you know, we're not close to a record. I remember on this date back in 98, it got up to 68 in the Twin Cities, which is the warmest December temperature on record. And, yeah, you know, a lot of people soaking this up. Winter is coming. Snow is coming. Arctic fronts are coming, but everything has been delayed. I think next week will start to look and feel more like winter. I know DJ is probably bumming out about this, right?
He is.
Yeah. I feel his pain. I know,
but he said he's going to
keep people happy.
He's going up north, I think, this weekend. He's going cross-country skiing, so he's all set. But, Paul, is this a predictor? Is this a predictor that maybe it's going to be a little bit of a warmer weather? Like, I don't know what it was like back in 98. Or is this just a fluke and we should enjoy the day?
Well, 98, we had a really strong El Nino, which correlates with warmer winters. It was a supersized El Nino warm event in the Pacific. And yeah, that winter was unusually warm. We got a lot of rain, a lot of ice, and it was warmer than average. We're in a La Nina pattern, which usually is cooler for Minnesota and the upper Midwest, but we haven't really seen that set in now. We have just an overwhelming Pacific flow, a warm flow. There's no correlation that I'm aware of that says if you have a warm autumn, it's absolutely going to be a warm winter. I wish it was that simple. Autumn was the fourth warmest. We tied for the fourth warmest on record. Certainly the winter will seem shorter. It's probably going to be concentrated and hopefully nothing like February of last year when we had that run of sub-zero. But I would just say, if you like snow, be patient. It's coming. There's a chance of a little light snow in the metro Tuesday, a better chance of a few inches next Wednesday night and Thursday. That's way out there. Confidence levels are low. But next week, it will be consistently cold enough for snow. You know, obviously, with these kinds of temperatures, 40s and low 50s, you're not going to get any snow. But next week will be cold enough. And I still think we're going to have a white Christmas, but Hanukkah,
oh, nice. Okay.
Not so much.
That's okay. We don't need a white Hanukkah.
Yeah.
I have some latkes for you. If you can stay up, if you want to come over, I have some latkes for you.
Oh, my goodness. The challah. I crave the challah. But and tell DJ, and I know he's scrambling, but up north, they will get like 2 to 5, maybe even 6 inches up in Duluth and Bemidji and much of the northern third of Minnesota on Sunday, we'll get a pretty good snow. But as the colder air comes in next week, and by colder, I mean around freezing, you know, either side of freezing. Above zero.
Not too bad.
So it's not going to be, it's going to be average, but I think it will, I think we may finally get enough snow to whiten lawns and make it look a little more like the holidays here in the metro. So it's late. Okay. Winter has been delayed. It has not been canceled, my friend.
It's going to snow 5 inches on the North Shore on Sunday?
That's wishful thinking, friend.
It looks like it. The models are, the models are saying 3 to 6 for Duluth and the North Shore. So, yeah, send $20. Put $20 in an envelope, and magical things can happen, DJ.
All right. Well, I'm gonna be there, so I will. You'll either have a very happy producer or a very angry producer on Monday morning.
send photos of you making snow angels face up this time. Okay, not face down.
I learned from
you. How are you doing, Paul? How are you doing? Are you surviving the morning?
Yeah. It's fine. It's fine. I enjoy doing the morning show. But I miss you guys. I miss our listeners in the afternoon. And so hopefully, I mean, we'll see. We're taking it one day at a time. But hopefully I can be back with you on next week. How are you feeling, Gerard? Your energy seems better. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. You know, it's sort of a slow recovery. I spoke with my hematologist today and my infectious disease guy yesterday, and they're like, you know, Gerard, it could take months to recover from a pneumonia. So I was like, well, not really what I want to hear, but... okay. It is what it is, right? What, like you said, one day at a time.
One day at a time. We're going to get through this together, come out the other end, and be better for it, right? Whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger. I do believe that, going through a pandemic. So you hang in there, and we'll catch you soon. And don't sweat the snow.
Too.
It's just frozen water. It'll be okay next week, even if we get a few inches, okay?
We'll be listening tomorrow morning. Go get a nap in. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thanks, George. See ya.
You got it. All right. Well, we're talking about the weather, and we're talking about Omicron. Yes, today the breaking news, of course, is that it has been found in California. We're going to speak with Dr. Gregory Poland, our vaccination expert, next. First Omicron case has been detected in the United States, in California, someone who had recently traveled to South Africa. Dr. Fauci said in a presser this afternoon that, of course, this is another reason for Americans to get vaccinations and boosters. And there could be some new travel rules or restrictions. We don't know them yet. We are waiting on hearing about that. But what does this mean for all of us? What should we be doing? Our expert, Dr. Gregory Poland from the Mayo Clinic, is joining us now on CCO. Dr. Poland, welcome back.
Hey, Jordana. Thank you. Good to be with you.
Thank you, sir. Well, I can't say I'm surprised. We knew it was just a matter of time, right? You're not surprised that Omicron is here already.
Not at all. Not at all. And it won't be the last one, frankly.
Absolutely not. What is the very latest that you can tell us that we know about this strain?
Sure. So the concerning thing about it, and the way I've characterized it, is this. We're hearing a fire alarm, and we see some smoke. What we have to do is open the door of the building, which means take a few weeks, to see, is it a little small fire in the corner that we can contain, or is this going to become a raging fire the way Delta did? There's no way to know right now. Here's what we can say. First case looks like it was actually identified in Nigeria back in October, and then 9 cases in Botswana, and boom, virtually all of the cases in South Africa. That's not a good sign. Second thing, this has over 50 mutations. 32 of those are in that spike protein, and half of those gathered in the part of the spike protein that attaches to cells. What that means is that it has a greater genetic difference from the original strain than any other variant we've seen. And as I say, we're seeing spread, including in people who have not been boosted. So if you say to me, what's the secret to protecting yourself as best we know right now with the information we have, I would say, wear a mask and get a booster. That is your best defense. As you mentioned, we've got one case in California. That person happened to have been a traveler to South Africa. But let me mention that the CEOs of Regeneron and Eli Lilly, makers of the monoclonal antibodies to treat this have both said, we think our product may not have the efficacy we thought it would have against this variant. We don't know if that's true yet. And so, you know, I don't want to raise alarm unnecessarily, but some of the earliest estimates is that this may be 2 to 6-fold times more transmissible than what we've dealt with. That's different than virulence. What kind of disease would it cause? And that we just don't know. But, you know, when you look at these cases around the U.S. and the world, when you look at holiday travel, when you look at people's pandemic fatigue, pushing them to not wear masks and not get boosters, this is potentially a big fire. We don't know yet, but we got to watch really carefully.
You mentioned the monoclonal antibodies. The CEO of Regeneron, which makes a monoclonal antibody treatment, said that they probably will see a hit on the efficacy of that. And again, that jives with what you just told us. But what about the vaccines? Do we know yet? You mentioned, obviously, these are different strains. It's a greater variant from even Delta, from the original COVID-19.
Right.
Do we know if the vaccines will be a little bit effective? I mean, we heard Fauci saying get vaccinated or get boosted, excuse me, and you give the same advice. But do we know if that will take this this disease, this variant, down a little bit? Or are we just doing it because it's the right thing to do?
Well, both. We don't. The truth is we don't actually know. And you might say, well, gee, why don't we know? And it's because the number of people immunized in South Africa is so small that we can't tell yet, is there a difference in infection rate between vaccinated and unvaccinated? Now, if you pushed me into a corner and said, I really want to know what you think as a vaccinologist and somebody studying these RNA viruses for a few decades, I would say my guess is that efficacy is going to take a hit. I think this is going to end up acting more like the beta variant, in that there'll be a reduction, but not a cessation of activity, neutralizing activity against the virus. And that's why all of us really feel that getting a booster is important. If this virus knocks your antibody, your ability to fight this off by, let's say, a third, if you start at a very high antibody level, and I'm simplifying here, you're that much better off.
Okay, right. So thus the reason for boosters and vaccines, get those antibodies
exactly.
In you.
Exactly.
Yesterday, an FDA advisory panel recommended, I'm probably going to butcher this, Molnupiravir.
Molnupiravir.
There you go. You know it. That's Merck's at-home treatment pill. It's a pill for COVID-19. I guess like a Tamiflu works for the flu, it's a pill. And it said while it is effective against the variants that we know about, again, it's unclear either whether or not it will work on Omicron. Do you have any latest news on that, or is this just, again, a wait and see?
Yeah, again, a wait and see. In fact, you know, against the new data that was just released, initially they thought that the Merck molnupiravir was going to be about 50% effective in preventing severe disease hospitalization. It looks now to be more like 30%. Now, that 30% is a relative reduction. If we look at absolute numbers, in the clinical trial, 9.8% of those who got placebo went on to die or have severe disease. Those who got treated with the antiviral, it wasn't 9.8, it was 6.8. So it's only a 3% decrease. And that's why Merck has been issuing these things, is to basically say, and that's why the divided vote, by the way, at the FDA, it was a vote of 13 yay, 10 nay over this. So it barely squeaked by, because this is looks to be offering against the variants we know a very small, that can be significant, but still a very small advance. What will happen with Omicron? We don't know yet.
Okay. So still no magic bullet there. Good to know.
Right.
We appreciate that. Is there any downside of taking it if you do get the disease?
Well, one of the things that does carry some concern when you take an antiviral, and if that antiviral is already not very effective, it can act as a selective pressure, that is, selecting for viruses that don't respond to that antiviral, in a sense, making it worse and worse.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so I guess you really have to weigh whether or not you're going to take it.
Your simple, easy virus strains that respond well to that, then the antiviral works. But if you have mixed strains, or you have a mutant strain, or in what we're calling a variant here, that doesn't respond very well, you may actually be selecting for a virus that is increasingly resistant to that very antiviral.
Boy, okay. Glad I asked. Good to know. People will have to consider, now that they have some information, whether or not that's something they want to take.
And that's really important, Jordana, because, you know, what I get asked a lot by the public is, well, maybe I won't get my booster or even get my primary series, because, you know what, they've got these monoclonals and these antivirals coming. I'll just get those. Well, what have we found out in just a few days? Those monoclonals may not be fully effective. These antivirals may not be fully effective in the face of these new variants. And like I say, Omicron will not be the last one. Until we get people immunized and convince them to wear masks, we're going to continue to see the origin and the spread of these kinds of variants.
Doc, what happened between Delta and Omicron? There's a lot of letters in there. Were those variants not dangerous? Were they? Why didn't we hear about them?
That's an interesting question. So the next one that it should have been, because we had a mu, is nu, N-U. Mm. And they thought, well, nu variant really didn't describe very well. So the next one would have been a variant XI, which is a transliteration of the Chinese premier's first name.
That's true. Xi Jinping
was a good idea. So they jumped to the next one, which was Omicron.
Oh, okay. All right. I thought Epsilon was after Delta, Alpha, Beta, Gamma, Delta, Epsilon.
There's been an Epsilon variant, but a minor, not important.
Got it. Okay. So they weren't as important. So this one is a bigger one. Okay. And just briefly before I let you go, we're almost out of time. The kids, they're thinking about making this vaccine available to 16-year-olds. Do we know when that's going to happen and your advice on that?
Well, you mean a booster for the 16?
The booster, yes, of course.
Absolutely a good idea. In fact, let me just say that where we have what's called real-world effectiveness data comes out of excellent health systems studies that have been done in Israel. They have lowered that booster age to age 12, and the reason for it is even down to that age, they were seeing breakthrough cases. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, okay. I think the quicker we get to booster doses and immunizing everybody that's eligible, the better off we're going to be.
Yeah, my kids are going to be ready soon, and I have a 16-year-old, so I'm at the ready when it happens, and it's ready for him because I got to tell you,
Jordan, I had a little kid come up to me whose mother knew me and you know, wanted to know, Dr. Poland, is Santa and the elves going to be okay? I want them to know. We've been talking with the North Pole. These elves are hundreds of years old, remember, so they're eligible for boosters, and we're going to be sure they got a supply of boosters.
Well, I feel so much better now. Thank you. That's what we need. That's the question I didn't ask that we needed to know, Dr. Poland. We so appreciate you with the inside scoop to the North Pole.
You bet. Yeah.
Thank you, sir. We'll talk next week.
You bet. Okay, be safe.
So everybody, tell your kids Santa and the elves are going to be just fine. They got their vaccines. They're getting their boosters. They are all set. Speaking of that, the owner of a boutique that had to close during COVID, how is she getting through the holidays? How is she making a comeback? We'll talk with Lisa Vossen next. Black Friday, Cyber Monday, Giving Tuesday, Small Business Saturday, the whole shebang. It is the shopping season, my friends. Everybody is out and about, and that's a good thing. We got to get the economy back and going. But what about all of those small businesses that didn't necessarily survive COVID? Can they come back? Can they get a boost? Can they get a bump? Well, I ran into one of these business owners on Instagram. Lisa Vossen is the owner of the Pink Door Boutique. I found her on Instagram as I was scrolling one day, and she had some really cool products. And I reached out to find out where her shop was. And she told me the story that during COVID, the shop closed. So she is now functioning on Instagram. And I thought, you know, this is such a creative way to keep your business alive, to be super tenacious. And I just wanted to share her story on the air today. So Lisa Vossen, owner of Pink Door Boutique, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Jordana. Thank you so much for having me.
And I want everybody to follow you on Instagram at Pink, is it Pink Door?
Pink Door MN.
There you go. Pink Door MN. So a little boost for you. Check out her stuff. But tell me your story, Lisa. It's my understanding you had a brick and mortar retail and then COVID happened. So share the story.
Yeah, correct. I've had a brick and mortar since 2008. And it started out in Lakeville. And then 10 years later, I went to 50th in France, kind of like a dream come true. And then as the pandemic came, you know, we all had to close, as you know, and it went from what we thought would be a few days to a few weeks to months. And, you know, in that time, I started to kind of reinvent myself as it was, you know, taking product home, Instagramming from my home, setting up a little makeshift shop, delivering to clients across the cities, really, wherever I needed to go, I would go. Yeah.
So what happened to the shop? Could you not get back in? Did your, you know, what happened to the relationship with the landlord? I mean, people are shopping now. Yeah. So have you not reopened yet?
Right, correct. So, yeah, during all of the shutdowns, the owner of our building decided it was time to sell, and they sold to redeveloper. So I kind of just made an agreement to leave early, not knowing what was going to happen and when we'd reopen. So I left what I thought was the most devastating thing that happened. Actually, it's kind of turned out to be a blessing, you know, with all the tenacity I have and friends and family and my clientele couldn't be more loyal. So I'm so blessed with all of that.
Well, let's talk about how you're doing it, because you don't have a store anymore. And there are times when I've wanted to buy things from you. I'm like, how do we do this? And you and I have met in parking lots. You know, I said it's sort of like a drug deal.
Yeah. We're meeting in parking lots. That's so funny. It's funny you say that. That's kind of the joke when I do that. Yes. Sometimes I'll load up the car and head up to 50th in France and meet people in my old parking lot. And we do the same thing, you know, we'd show them what they're looking for. If they need a gift last minute, I'm more than willing to accommodate, as they have been so loyal to me, or I would not be here to this day. And then as things started to slowly open, we started to participate in sip and shops. And the outpouring of support. So we go to venues throughout the cities, and make up a little store, if you will. So it kind of feels like every couple months I'm reinventing the store again in a certain venue. And it keeps me motivated to curate things that I know they'll love, but they can't find at the mall. And it re-energizes me when I get to see their faces and see that.
So like a little pop-up shop.
Absolutely.
You get a retail space for like a day.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. We like the word sip because they know they get to have a little cocktail in between.
So, Lisa, how is business? I mean, have you been able to make a living and support yourself from just the shop from post-COVID?
You know, that's the part that shocked me the most. I thought maybe that without my beautiful storefront that I worked so hard to build, I thought that would be the end. And, wow, am I blown away. Like, I can't believe that I can still sustain this business the way I am. In the creative ways I'm doing it, be it Facebook, Instagram, going to clients' homes, doing these events. It's blown my mind. And so, yes, and we're actually working to launch a website after the holidays now, and I'm working with Fly Girl Creative, who is doing a killer site for me. So I'm super excited to launch that for my clientele.
So do you think you would ever go back to brick and mortar, or is this the new way to do business now?
You know, I never say never, because I do miss having that store, but I just feel like maybe this is the way it's been going anyway, and I kind of got forced into it. So learning the hard way, you know, sometimes that's the way, right? Without being forced into it, you never really kind of put that on yourself. And I feel like I have gained that through all of this that has happened. And a lot of other small businesses, I feel, are reinventing and finding their way, too.
And are you getting support? Are you chatting with other small businesses on how they do this? And, you know, you have some unique things, so I'm guessing you work with a lot of small vendors.
Yeah, actually, that has been a huge part of it, especially when it comes to supply. I know a lot of vendors and stores across the country, and it's been great to share with each other. Hey, where did you get that? That's amazing. And she'll say, oh, so-and-so that lives in my neighborhood. She has a small shop. She's making things. So there I've been able to support other small businesses who are trying to create a name for themselves and bring that product to clients here that would never otherwise see it.
Well, good for you. You know, it's I'm really impressed with the fact that you're keeping it going. You're always so upbeat and you respond right away. It's just fascinating how people have to pivot, you know, during COVID. And now you're really finding your footing. So is there anything I didn't ask you, Lisa? Anything you want to mention?
No, I mean, I guess I would just like to mention and say thank you from the bottom of my heart to everyone who has kept following me and believing in me. I get emotional about it.
Well, we appreciate that. And that's why I wanted to highlight you, because I know that you're invested and you're working really hard. So I love it. Again, you are. The site is Pink Door MN. Just some really fun stuff. And by the way, I gave my youngest the Hanukkah present I bought from you, the shirt, the flannel with the queen that says she loved it. I gave it to her last night for Hanukkah.
Good.
Loved it. So
good. I'm so glad that was a hit. And, you know, for all the people listening, we do have an event here this Sunday at Our Lady of Grace in Edina. And it's a great fundraiser. We're giving back to the school, and it's from 10 to 3. So that's a great way to come out and support a lot of your local boutiques who will be popping up there.
Our Lady of Grace in Edina from 10 to 3 on this Sunday, you said, or Saturday?
Yes, this Sunday. Yep.
This Sunday. Okay, wonderful. Well, Lisa Vossen at Pink Door MN, thank you so much. And I will continue to follow you and root for you. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Jordana. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
You got it.
Okay.
You know, we hear so much about these businesses that have suffered during COVID. And I have a small business on the side. I know how hard, but I have a full-time job. You know, I can't rely on a small business on the side. It doesn't make that much money. So I get it. And I have a lot of empathy for people that have had to completely change things up. All of these small businesses at, you know, 38th in Chicago that have suffered, the businesses in Uptown when I drive through Uptown. And it's good to know that people are finding creative ways to do what they love. You know, COVID sort of scrambled everything. It forced some people to maybe open an online store or open a small business because maybe they got laid off from something else. And always love hearing people's entrepreneurial stories. When we get back, some more fun. COVID-inspired pet names. Yeah, that's a thing. There is a list now of the top pet names, and some of them, you're going to laugh. That's next. Thank you, David. Little Alphaville to start the day, but I will not sing because I know you're secretly recording me, and you're going to play it back at some point.
Always.
I just mouth the words, which is what my kids tell me to do anyway. When I'm singing in the car, they're like, Mom, can you please just mouth the words? Please don't try. My oldest once actually said that to me when she was young. They're musical because their father is, but I can't carry a tune. I'm completely tone deaf. And she looked at me in the car. She's like, are you even trying to sound like the song that's on the radio? Like, are you trying or are you kidding? I'm like, no, that's me singing. I think I'm fabulous, but it's a bad scene. That is a bad scene. So this is fun. I have a little fun right now. COVID-inspired names for your dogs. So many people adopted pets when we were in lockdown, which was wonderful. It was some of the first time that some of these shelters were empty. I think the shelters have refilled up now. But people were home, and the dogs and cats and pets, it was a boon because everybody was staying at home. So the dogs were loving it. No separation anxiety and no crate time. But what were the dogs named when we were home during COVID? The name Zoom was up 443%.
is my new
That's
dog.
That's a great
Zoom.
Name.
That's a, it's a good
Come
name.
Come on, Zoom. Come on, Zoom. Let's go. Yeah. Let's Zoom. I love that. The dog Zoom. The name Zoom. 443%. The name Fauci was up 270%. Okay. Right?
Yeah,
Fauci. That's a great name.
Mm-hmm.
Home tech inspired some names. Siri. The name Siri went up 131%. Mm-hmm. But that's got to be confusing because if you're always saying, come on, Siri.
Yeah.
Hey, Siri.
Hey, Siri.
You know, then you're phone kicks in,
yeah,
and that's annoying. That's like naming your dog Alexa, and then you got that thing going off all the time. That's a nightmare. Apparently, some people named their dog Google. That rose 63%. Dog Google. Celebrity names and musicians also heavily inspired pet names. Dogs were named Bozeman. You know, Chadwick Bozeman.
Oh,
He passed.
Yep.
He passed. So the name Bozeman increased over 1,000%, and cats named Chadwick went up 400%.
Okay.
In honor of Chadwick Bozeman, who tragically passed from, I believe, his colorectal cancer. And most of us didn't know that that was a battle that he was fighting.
Yeah.
Black Panther, of course. The name Britney went up. Britney Spears, Jamie Lynn were inspired. That increased 68%. And by the way, cats named Ellen declined 129% because Ellen had that scandal where she was mean to her staff, and now her show.
That's why you wait till the celebrity you love has passed away, because then they can't do anything else dumb to make you regret
to taint the name. Yeah. a little fun with that. Take a quick break. National and local news at the top of the hour.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.